Hi, welcome to MR Explorer. In this podcast episode, I actually reached out to a friend of mine who is currently working on the brand side of the market research industry to see how the coronavirus was impacting her day-to-day and to get some perspective from her on ideas that she has for brand researchers, for the vendors that exist in this space, as well as for the software suppliers, on how we can each be reacting and continuing our research and learning through this really weird and interesting time. I hope you enjoy.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
How are you surviving?
I am doing well. I've been doing well. I think it's just been a bit of an adjustment, you know, learning how to function with a partner who is also at home all the time now. And I think one of the most relatable internet memes, I guess, that you're seeing floating around has been this, it's really been eye-opening knowing that I'm married to someone that says, let's circle back, like I'm married to a circle, like let's circle back guy. And we didn't know that was a situation that I was married to, or like, I'm now hearing my partner's like quote unquote working voice. So that's been fun. It's just been pretty interesting.
I have found myself telling my husband, I just reached out to so-and-so and realizing I need to use real world language. I just emailed a friend of mine.
I know. And it's been, you know, we have one office that has two screens and a door, and then we have a dining room table, and those are our two situations. So now we talk at the beginning of the day and say, what's your meeting schedule? Do you need a closed door? Do you not need a closed door? And so it's really been improving our communication as well as highlighting some holes that we might need to figure out at some point. But overall, we're adjusting, and so we're net positive.
That's good.
Which is a relief, I think, for both of us. Because I don't know if we would be net positive while also trying to parent and homeschool at the same time. I think there was, this might be interesting for you, but I think one of the best solutions that I have found, or that I've seen thrown around our communication tool that we use, is that at the beginning of the day, there's a whiteboard and there's a column for a mom and column for dad and the hours. And so they can color in the boxes of who is busy when. So the child knows when they can run up to each parent, depending on the hour.
And alternatively, they know how long they have for the number of movies they're going to watch during the day.
Exactly. And some days it's 9 movies, and that's fine. That's fine.
I have to say, it is so weird going from you should limit your child's screen time to, that's not going to happen right now. And not just that, but like all of the learning stuff is online. You know, if it's not a book that he's physically reading, more often than not, there is an online component to it. And it just kind of, it brings reality a little bit more home, literally speaking, because there is no way that we can have him interact with his teacher, have him have any kind of social interaction, which is such an important part of the school day anyway, and have all of us stay sane if we're like, you get 2 hours, dude, you get 2 hours of screen time during the day. No, that would just, we would not survive that. I don't think any of us would survive that.
No, and I think that something that I didn't really think of before that popped into my head a couple days ago is, What about those families who have more than one child that are school age that all have, they all have video calls and whatnot with their teachers at the same time? But like, do people even own one? Do people even own non-work issued laptops anymore? I don't know. And two, like, do you own more than one with cameras?
Yeah.
And so what happens when like all four of you have to either be working or doing schoolwork all at the same time? I don't know how you do that, but
I will tell you, I have a cousin with four kids and she ran into that exact issue.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have to go and buy three new tablets so that all children have something that is possible for them to do a video call, because every single one of their teachers is setting up some kind of online check-in system.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And not I to think the load on the bandwidth of your Wi-Fi signal, right? Like,
oh my gosh. Like, mm-hmm. You know what though? I think, and I know that we're going to get into this, but I think that this is what I almost appreciate about this time is you are learning very quickly if you're in, hopefully you're in an organization where your employee culture or your company culture will help you with this, but how vulnerable and open and real you have to be with your colleagues now.
Yes. Yes.
It's like, it's a, hey, can we start this meeting 10 minutes late? I need to get so-and-so set up with X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
Or is this really a priority? Can we shift? Or, hey, I need to be logging off now at 2 p.m. and I'll be back on in the evening. And
yep.
Or you hear a crash on a call and you just have to say, like, I hope everyone's still good. You know, but
yep.
You can't judge. It's not like it used to be where, you know, it's not like it used to be 1 month ago where you would work from home and a dog barked and you were so embarrassed and worried that maybe you wouldn't ever be able to work from home again because
yep.
you have to have this air of professionalism.
Yeah.
It's yep. everything is about survival. Like, let's just reprioritize. We need to get what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be fine at the end, hopefully, fingers crossed. And that's what needs to be prioritized. Like, it's family and then work now, because there's no getting around it.
Yes, absolutely. I have colleagues that, you know, I have met every single one of their kids now because we have,
yes.
we have conference calls and it's like, oh, hey, this is a child that I've heard about, but I have never met before because they're either at daycare or they're having a nap and now they're climbing all over you. Well, let's take a few minutes and let's acknowledge the fact that we're all human and
yeah.
your reality,
yeah.
you know, and it's just calling, I think, for so much more empathy and so much more being a real human,
yes.
right? Like there is very little that you could do anymore right now if you're working from home to have that professional filter in place.
Yeah. And I think okay. that people are looking for it to come down. I mean, they're looking for permission to be themselves in this
yeah.
time where there are no rules. There
yeah.
are no rules. And I'm extremely fortunate to work for an organization that from day one, it was, let's just figure out how to survive this and get
yeah.
through this together. And
yeah.
then And, you know, we were working from home or encouraged to take advantage of that opportunity before schools closed in our
yeah.
area. And so we were 1 week in and people were finally getting the rhythm of just not seeing their coworkers.
Yeah.
And then they had to get into a rhythm of not seeing their coworkers and parenting and schooling their children.
Yes.
So it's been a very like week by week, day by day, you know, learning opportunity. It's a growth
totally.
Opportunity.
Totally. It's definitely, you just, the only thing you can do is take one day at a time.
Yes.
And
yeah.
just figure it out.
And learn and understand that your one day at a time is not the same as someone else's one day at a time.
Yes.
Like, I'm feeling pretty good and I have adjusted fairly well and I've had work from home environments in my past work lives, and I worked from home on a pretty regular basis, not every day, but pretty
Yeah.
on a regular basis in the first place. We've leaned in pretty hard to this. We're doing pretty good. I'm feeling fine.
Yeah.
But I realize that my feeling fine now is might not be that tomorrow, and it might definitely not even be my manager's feeling fine tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's
Yeah.
okay.
Yep. Such a good point. So let's shift gears rather dramatically.
Sure.
And one of the reasons I wanted to chat with you is because I think between the two of us, I know that we have both now had client side experience, being on a brand side, being on the vendor side or supplier side, as well as working for a software provider to the market research space. So, and right now, I'm back on like the software provider side. And you are on the brand side. And I was realizing the other day that I have this perspective of, well, absolutely, you should, if you're in market research, you should be doing more, if not more market research, definitely not stop doing market research right now. But I also realize that comes from a little bit of being working for a company that our staff relies on people continuing to do research. But also just from my own perspective, right? And I wanted to bring in your perspective, especially doing brand side research, and hear from you on how the virus has been impacting the research that you are able to do. Like, what stuff are you not able to do? And we'll just start there, very basic. Like, are there types of research that have been impacted negatively? Like, you're not able to do these projects because of the fact that we're all doing stay at home now.
It's a very interesting question. And one that is hard to answer in some ways, just because I think there are solutions for so many of the problems I think that will come up with everyone either working, well, ev everyone working from home. And that's one way of looking at it is the people doing the research themselves are going to be working from home. The other way to look at it is the people that you're trying to speak with are now working from home and are encouraged not to leave your house. So obviously the very or the I guess the obvious answer of what kind of research has been impacted are in-person focus groups. So we were in the middle of scoping a new piece of work, and right now I'm focusing more on the B2B audience side of things, and they're hard to find audiences, and really one of the only ways of finding them are qualitative. I've done quantitative work in the past, but the audiences that I am currently focused on are very, at least in half of my work life, are very niche audiences that is very qualitative. And we were scoping work at the beginning of this. It had to have been probably the end of February, which right now seems like a whole different lifetime ago. Like I was in an office. I had a whiteboard. It was so nice. And I was thinking, like, travel was not even yet even being thought of, and really, all of the issues were really here in the Pacific Northwest, and we were looking at going to Chicago and New York. And we sat there and we asked the vendor to put together to revise their proposal to also include some other qualitative options for us because this work wasn't going to be running until beginning of Q2, and we just didn't know what the world was going to look like then, and we thought we were being dramatic, like, oh, maybe we wouldn't want to travel, or maybe it's just us that wouldn't be able to travel, even if groups can still be put together. And we thought that was dramatic. And now, I mean, now that's
exactly.
Who knows when in-person focus groups are going to be a reality again. So, you know, how is research being impacted? That's a pretty obvious answer. But to me, there was a pretty obvious solution in that there are so many different communication tools now at this point where real-time focus groups could be happening and streaming, being streamed and recorded.
Yeah.
You know, there are online boards. You know, there are boards that you could be programming. There
right.
are IDIs. You could be doing IDIs. So there are so many different opportunities, I guess, that to be honest, I guess, and this is something that I just thought of is, we've all been working towards this. How long have market researchers been out there saying, it's not just online surveys anymore. Like, we don't have to just sit and write a questionnaire anymore.
Yeah.
There are so many different options out there now.
Yeah.
And now we are just getting thrown into this world of, if you want to still be doing research, you better be agile. Like you better be open to experimenting and finding some kind of way of looking at this as an opportunity of just learning about your industry and about you as a researcher and how creative you can get.
Yeah. Do you find that the term agile has taken on a different meaning than like, because I mean, we as an industry have been throwing around the term agile for a good solid 2 years now, but just to hear the way that you said it, it almost made it sound like this is where it makes sense. Like the term agile feels like it's taken on an actual definition now.
Well, you know, I think that there's a difference when you're talking about any given when you're trying to encourage an entire industry to grow with digital transformation or to grow with new softwares and abilities, and when you're faced with new companies that all say that they can do new things, and I'm sure they can, you are depending on who you are, what kind of research you're doing, what kind of company you work for. There are very specific limitations of what you can and cannot do, or what you're able to do quickly. So there's a difference in sitting and saying for the last 2 years, we need to learn how to be agile. We need to learn how to do this. We need to learn how to be flexible, and actually being faced with, okay, it's time. It is time to be agile. It is time to be flexible. And if you're not, that's it. Like this is it. Like there is no, you have to learn how to do this. This is, you need to start learning and leaning on your subject matter experts. You need to start like leaning in to this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who knows how long you're not going to be able to do what you are comfortable doing.
Right.
You can't, in times like these, like comfort and being comfortable is not what is going to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you, I feel like that is such a, it's possible for that to become just a short-term change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like sometime within the next, who knows how long, people will be back in offices. You'll have your whiteboard again. It will be possible to go to these in-person focus groups again. But there will also have been this time that we have spent having to think creatively and almost think on our feet to be able to continue doing research in some ways. Do you think that you will continue using some of those tools that you are developing now in the future? Like once, it feels weird to think once at some point this will all be over, but when this is, when this is over and we are back to that quote normal, do you feel like the new normal will then replace what had been comfortable previously?
I don't think that it's a matter of replacing. I think it's a tool in your toolbox.
Yeah.
So I think maybe you're going to be brought onto a new project, or you're going to have a new stakeholder, or you have a new client, and they don't have the funds to travel. They're new, or it's a new product, any of that. Their
yeah.
budget is constrained.
Yeah.
But you know that the best option for you would be to in-person focus group, a workshop or something of the sort.
Yeah.
Their budget doesn't allow for that. So now what can you do? Oh, you can do these new online focus groups, these real-time online focus group that you found out about 6 months ago when you weren't allowed to leave your house.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, is this the most ideal solution for folks? Sometimes yes and sometimes no, but it allows it in a few different ways. Like I am currently on the brand side, you're on the software side, there are so many
yeah.
folks that are on the vendor side.
This
yep. just allows you to be presenting new options to either your stakeholders, your clients, that there is a new way of looking at things, and it might not be the best for them right now, but it could be in 6 months. And
yeah.
right now is just when you're figuring out how to use it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's not the best solution for them right now, that means that, like, in the next 2 months, you're going to have to learn how to be an expert in a methodology that probably might not be the best methodology for your research at the time, which means you're going to have to get really good at it for it to work.
Yeah.
Which means when it is the best methodology for you to be employing 6 months, 9 months, 12 months down the road, you're going to be really, really good at it. And you're going to be able to understand and sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that this has, you know, you were talking about the a stakeholder who you were working on putting together this focus group project and starting to come up with, you know, work with the vendor to say, give us alternatives in case something happens, and that something has happened and now you're having to use those alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that it's actually that the circumstances we're in right now have helped a little bit with getting stakeholders more on board with using new methodologies, using new techniques to still get research done?
Yeah, I think I've been fairly fortunate in the two places that I've been, where I have been brand side. I was brand side in my, you know, my previous company to where I am now.
Yeah.
And they, most of the stakeholders, if not all of the stakeholders that I have engaged with, have really trusted me or the research org that I'm a part of. They look to us as the experts. So
yeah.
if we say, hey, we looked at this a little bit more and we don't think that the methodology that you came to us with might is the best option, but here is what we think might most benefit you. And here's why. And here's the pricing and how it would work for what you were looking for. But here are the limitations. And here's what we think would be best for you.
Yeah,
I think that that goes for anyone, whether they're brand side, software side, vendor side, anytime that you are speaking with someone who is going to be making a decision, or is, you know, the final decision maker. It just because someone is going to be coming into a proposal with, here's what I think I want, that
yeah.
doesn't always necessarily mean that it's the best option, especially when you are the expert in what you do.
Right.
And that's okay. You just have to build that trust and provide your options.
Yeah. Yeah. What advice would you give to... We're going to kind of walk through the three that we've been talking about, brand side, vendor side, and also software. Let's start with just a brand researcher. What advice would you give to a brand researcher for working in the circumstances we're in right now?
It's a sensitive time. I think it's a sensitive time. It is so many pronged. I want to say it's two pronged. It's not. It's like a fork. There are so many prongs. And I mean, for consumers right now, if you are working on a B2C research project and you are looking for consumers who are currently buying packaged goods, right now is a great time to be talking to them, you know, like they keep doing your research. I bet that there are so many folks out there that are trying all kinds of new crackers that they've never had before because it was the only box of crackers that was on the shelf. Like, do that.
Right. Right.
You have a whole new consumer set. If you are researching, if you know, if you're looking at a B2B audience of developers and you want to learn how they're now working from home, right now is a great time to be doing that. That's a great time. Right now is a super good time to be doing that. My world in particular, I have a few different works that are going on, but one of them is focused on industry. Industry right now is a little bit of a touchy area because nobody really knows what's going on. We could ask them what they're doing right now, and that's probably not the way that industry decision makers are going to be making their decisions next week, next month,
right,
3 months. And it's definitely not how they were making those decisions 3 months ago.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So for some audiences, this is an excellent time to be doing research. This is an excellent time to be leaning in. Are they probably the same questions that you thought that you were going to be asking when you were scoping your Q1 work? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I think that instead of saying, hey, I don't think we should be doing research right now, I think this is a pretty interesting time to be saying, hey, we've never experienced this before, or, you know, most of us have not experienced a situation like this before.
Yeah.
Why don't we shift our business objectives and what our, you know, what we were trying to get out of this research in the first place and see what we can learn that could help us in the future.
Yeah. Love that.
So like, it doesn't mean that, you know, your use it or lose it money at the end of Q1 or Q2 is going to be gone. It just means you have to use it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the idea of, you know, if you are working with one of those audiences that perhaps right now you don't want to go and ask them stuff because it is such a sensitive time and any other considerations in there. That there is still so much to be done with research that has already been conducted in the past, right? Like, I just see so much opportunity personally for companies all over the place to take a little bit of time, review the research you've done previously, and figure out what learnings you have from those. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of groups and a lot of researchers would be surprised how much they already know about their consumer audience. They just haven't had the time or taken the time to go back through and look a little bit backwards, right? Look at the stuff that you've already done and what has it told you.
100% agree. I also think that this is also a great time to be doing your message testing. Like, if you think you know what you should be putting out there tomorrow to try to get someone to buy that last box of crackers, maybe you should just double check your tone. Right. Maybe you should just double check your content. Because honestly, we don't know how a lot of consumers are responding to this.
Yep.
It is different in different areas of the United States. It's different in different parts of the world. Like, if you have the opportunity right now to test before you throw something into market, now is the time to be doing that.
Totally.
Right now,
totally. Like,
companies are going to be judged, organizations are going to be judged on how they handle this in so many different ways, and how they treat their employees and how they treat, you know, their communities around them. But, and it's going to, you're going to be remembered. You're going to be remembered if you throw out something that is a little bit less sensitive than you think you should be putting out there. So take your time and test.
And I would say, even if you're testing, so like we had done, a company I work for has done some testing and very recently about, you know, are people answering things differently? The answer is no, but the answer is more like a no, not right now. Right. It's because the advice that we're giving is go test, still go test. Things are changing so quickly around you that, you know what? Just to be on the safe side, go do a side-by-side of something that you ran in November and then run it again today and just double check and see if your audience is changing the way that they're answering things. Because even though things might not be changing now, in fact, for our own, for our company, we're planning on continuing to do some testing, right? We're just going to keep our pulse on this and make sure that we can continually say, okay, yes, there is no change, or, oh, yep, okay, here is a change. Now we're starting to see it come in. But to your point, like, take the time. It's probably worth the money right now to test a message before you launch it.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now we're just in this very weird time. And so the more information that you can gather, the better. This is maybe a little off topic, but still topical. And we were fielding a wave of a tracker, and it launched in January, and it's US and China. And China was coming back a little slow. In responses. But if you remember back in January, when things started, when, folks started to work from home, it was also kind of overlapping with Chinese New Year. And so we were in a holding pattern of is it our project? Two, is it our audiences? Three, is it Corona? Because that's what we called it at the time, not COVID-19. Is it coronavirus or is it Chinese New Year? Is it all four? Is it three of those? Is it what is this? Yeah. So we had to get to even the middle of February before, you know, we're like, okay, it's probably not Chinese New Year anymore. You know, and what can we do? And is it just us or are, you know, our suppliers seeing a slowdown everywhere? What are we going to do about it? We're just learning all of it. Is a learning game and things that we're expecting.
It's so true. I heard someone the other day who was saying, you know, the majority of the audiences probably are fine. We might even see a little faster turnaround on some projects. But if you are a company whose target audience is moms of children ages 5 and under,
they don't have time for you.
Exactly.
If you are trying to have a project of just moms with children in the household, they don't have time for you. As we alluded to at the beginning of this call.
please be aware, you might have longer than anticipated turnaround times on your project.
But on one of those other prongs of my fork, my metaphorical fork, if you're looking for BDMs or IT pros or some kind of B2B audience, guess what? They're all working from home and I think they have a little extra time.
Right.
So.
Right.
I've heard, we haven't launched I think someone else could probably speak easier to this, but I think they're more easily being recruited right now because there's no one has to try to make it work on a Thursday in the middle of downtown. They could just join whenever they want for an hour.
Yeah.
And everyone's at home. No one's going anywhere.
Yep. So true. All right. Now, what advice would you give to those who are the market research partners, the vendors, the suppliers, not the software suppliers necessarily, but more the vendors that are partnering with the brands to make these research projects happen.
Mm-hmm. Be creative. Be creative and be agile and be flexible. I think things are changing day to day. There's going to be programming changes. If you're running a tracker right now, you should be adding into your tracker a COVID-19 question. Just start tracking it. You don't know, but that's being agile. That's saying, hey, I know we're in the middle of fielding. We're going to need to take this out of field for, 24 hours and program this in. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a once in a lifetime situation that we need to learn about. I think it's also just trying to have as much information for your client as possible, while also, I mean, hopefully creating that relationship with your client, that you're partners and you can be vulnerable with each other and say, listen, we're in uncharted territory. So are you. We are doing the best we can. And here are some of the roadblocks that we're running into. But here are some ideas that we have of how we can get around it. That's all we can do is be flexible. All of us need to be empathetic. I mean, all of it. So I think also be understanding that priorities are going to shift. So you might have had a proposal and maybe a statement of work drawn up for a project that was going to run in Q2, and that might change. And I don't know if I know enough to comment on what to do in that situation and in that case, but I think it's worth at least acknowledging that there's a lot of upheaval going on right now in the client vendor space right now that no one has been prepared for, and no one is doing anything, I don't want to say on purpose, but with any kind of malice, I don't believe. I mean, I can't say that for sure. It's a big world, but
Right. But it's more like a acknowledging that we're all in this together.
Yes.
None of us has been through this exact type of scenario before. It's almost like, you talk about individuals needing to give themselves grace to step away from the computer for a little bit. It's like that needs to happen also between the client and vendor side, right?
Yes.
Giving each other a little bit of grace for, okay, that didn't work. Let's try plan 22, right? Like, this is a time for being a lot more flexible and being iterative and being willing to say, all right, trying something completely new. You vendor can't guarantee what this is going to do for me as a client. And we're just going to try this together and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I am not naive to the issue that maybe a lot of companies are facing of canceled contracts could mean some really dire things.
Yeah.
And I'm not naive to that. Do I know the answer of what to do in those cases? I don't.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
But right. I think just as much as possible, trying to face these situations with as much empathy as possible. And, we've touched on it so many times in this conversation that just understanding that, I mean, we're all self-isolating. So like we're all alone together.
Yeah.
And the only way that we're all going to get through this at the end, 6 months from now, is if we all try to figure out how to get through it together.
Yeah. Yeah. 'Tis the time of the partnership for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Anything different that you would say for a software supplier to the market research industry?
I think be as innovative as you can. Like, now is the time to say, hey, look what we can do. It's new, it's different, and I don't have to see you. Like, I don't have to be in the same room to get this done.
Yeah.
And here are some things that we're already seeing. But it has to be done fast, and you're going to have some proof points behind it that it actually works.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have been in the software space before. I was in the software space not too long. And I think that's my initial thought. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think the software vendors that I think are going to shine the most during this time are the ones who are just like a vendor client relationship, are partnering, mm-hmm. right? And saying, okay, and not just partnering, but also maybe taking a step back and thinking, okay, what are the issues that are facing clients right now? What are the types of research that they are wanting to do? What are the audiences they're wanting to target for that research? And what are the problems they're likely to run into?
Mm-hmm.
And I think software suppliers who are able to look at that and start to quickly put together solutions or packages or just any combination of that, that they can go to a client or even a vendor and say, hey, we can help. We know that you are going through this really stressful time right now. We know that there is so much at risk and that you don't want to lose momentum behind doing research in the first place. So here are some solutions that we have for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, just to harp back on that, having empathy for everyone in this insights industry who, because every single person I think is facing a different challenge based on the research they're trying to accomplish and the audience they're trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. right? Like you said, your B2B audiences, the developers and ITDMs and decision makers, a lot of those people are now working from home and probably have a bit more time, and it's becoming a little easier to recruit them for stuff. On the flip side, you're also needing to do some qualitative research and find creative ways of getting the information that you would previously have received from an in-person focus group using different other medias.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there are, you had brought up, you know, you have this industry audience, which right now that's a touchy time and probably should put the brakes on that for a little bit, even though there's all the technology at your fingertips to go and do a study with them. Probably should go back and look through the questions again and just double check, triple check. If I were in those shoes, how would I react to receiving this survey? How would I react to being recruited for this study?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think empathy just right now is just the name of the game for anyone in any role. Just try to be empathetic for everyone else that is trying to work their way through this.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. Oh, what a time.
It's a weird Totally. Christina, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure getting to catch up and talk through this with you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's just we're going to get through this alone together, all of us.
Totally.
Because regardless, there's 6 months from now is going to happen. So we need to deal with now, and we need to set everyone up for success in the future.
Yep.
Who knows what that looks like?
Yes, yes. But as best as we can, let's just try one day at a time, and eventually we will find ourselves there and with a whole lot of new tools in our tool belt that we are now familiar with.
Yes, agree. Well, thank you so much,
Steve. Awesome. All right, talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi there. Thank you so much for listening to this. A huge, huge thank you to my friend Christina for being the first guest that I've ever had on this podcast. I really enjoyed recording this episode with her and hearing her perspective and her advice and just the theme of empathy that went throughout this entire episode, the entire discussion. I think that is so key, not just for times of trouble, but just in general for us to have a really good basis for any partnership that we enter into. I think empathy is just such a key tool for that. If you would like to be featured on an episode of MR Explorer, please reach out. You can find me on LinkedIn and you can find me on Twitter, and I will put those URLs and everything in the show notes. Until later, have fun, friends.